it shows that we're in agreement. Amen? It shows that we agree that we serve the risen Lord. Amen? And that's really what we're doing. We're not just going through motions and repeats and all just to do it, but we're showing those things. As I like the way Luke wrote when he wrote it in his Gospels, those things that are most surely believed among us. Amen? There must be some absolutes that we believe in. Amen. There must be some things that we are settled on and things that are foundational to our salvation this morning. And I believe that as we've been looking through the resurrection of our Lord, we're particularly coming at it from the view of the cross. And I know last week I said we were going to finish this week. I think I might have said maybe. So we're going with that maybe this morning, because As we were looking last time of the propitiation, or as we were looking at how that Christ has appeased, and really what that word meant to us and what it means to our salvation, and we started in really speaking about that ceremony, if you will, or the sacrifice, the blood that was shed, and all that took place there in the temple, and how that it was pointing all the way through, down through the ages of Christ. And as we were using that imagery of a substitution, how that Christ died in our stead, amen? He died in our place. He that knew no sin took on sin, was made sin for us. And so we've been looking at the cross and what it's meant throughout the ages, and how the church has taken it on as its symbol for good reason. And how that this morning, as we look at our risen Lord, and we realize that the grave could not hold him. And just as Christ has told his disciples that said, I have the power to lay it down. And indeed, that's what he did. He was not, even though the victim word could be used in a sense of he was an innocent. He was not guilty of a sin or the crime of that would be unto death. But he said, I have the power to lay it down. He did it of his own accord. He did it of his own will as he prayed there in the garden. He didn't stop there, because he said, I also have the power to take it up again. Amen. And so that's that we celebrate this morning. But before we go too far into that, I want to continue on with these imageries that we've been looking at. And we looked at that of the propitiation, and how that God has provided a sacrifice, and how that God has set forth, the Bible says, we were reading there from Romans chapter 3, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have been justified freely. Now, don't let that word freely fool you this morning, because it's not that our salvation has no value. Please don't see it as the you know, every now and again you'll ride by on down the road and you'll see a couch sitting on the side of the road, and there'll be a sign that says it's free. Come get it. That just means somebody took it out of their house and no longer wanted it there and threw it on the side of the road and said, you can come get it for nothing if you want to. That's free. I usually drive by those. I don't typically stop and pick those up, because if you've done that, that's fine, but they threw it out for a reason. It's not like the box of cats you see at Walmart and they say, free to a good home. I definitely ride by those. Not that I have a problem. Well, actually, I do. I do have a problem with cats. I think they're evil. Dogs are great. Cats, and I had one for a lot of years. But it's not that kind of free that we're talking about this morning. We're not just talking about free as in come get it because, it's just really of no value. We're talking about that he has freely given us, in the sense that he has given it out of favor. Our salvation is of great favor. That God has found favor with Christ, and in Christ Jesus, you and I have been freely given, that he has set forth to be the propitiation, being justified freely by his grace. This is a gracious gift. It's given to us in kindness. The price has been paid for our sins. We've been singing about the blood, the precious blood. We've been singing about the sacrifice that was made, that you and I might be saved. And this morning we celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate the fact that God has resurrected, that God has taken, he that laid down his life had the power to take it up again. I heard a preacher preaching this week, and I like the way he said it. He said the resurrection is God's receipt, that the death of Christ was accepted by him and full payment for the sins of mankind. Amen. That our sins have been paid this morning. That we have been freely given this out of grace, by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth. And we focused on that last time, how that the sacrifice is given of God, that God has set it forth. Any other time throughout history when pagan religions would talk about an appeasement, it was always man that would give it to God. But in this instance with Christianity and our faith this morning, God has set forth Christ to be the propitiation for our sin, to be that appeasement, to make atonement, to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And so we looked at that propitiation, and we started this, and we didn't get too far into it last week because we wanted to leave plenty of time as we celebrated our Lord's Supper together. And we began to talk about that redemption. So we moved from that imagery that changed from that of the temple worship or the temple ceremony, the temple courts, and now we've moved into the marketplace where money is transacted, where there's an exchange that's taken place. So from the ceremonial realm to the commercial, from the religious to the business transaction. Not that that's how our salvation is earned this morning, but that's the imagery that's used here with respect to redemption. And when we think about what redemption means, it focuses on the plight of sinners from which they were ransomed by the cross. Now, when we think of ransom, what do we think of? We often think of someone that's been kidnapped. If you've seen enough TV shows throughout your life, you've probably heard the story of the ransom. And what's the first thing that happens when someone is kidnapped, that everybody gets together and they're in the living room and they bring in the police department and they're all sitting there and they're waiting on a phone call, right? They're waiting on the phone call from the one that did the kidnapping to call and say, hey, this is the price for your loved one to be returned to you. And so when we think about a ransom, we think of that type of an exchange, a monetary exchange. We think about money that's been purchased or that something that's purchased with money. I heard this week, and so I checked my money just to make sure that what they told me was accurate. So I got out a dollar bill, and it says this on our dollar bill. It says this note, anybody else know what this says from here? This note is legal tender. I need my glasses this morning. It's mighty small. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. So our nation has passed a law to where if you and I have a transaction, I can give you this note or I can give you this dollar bill. I'm not going to get much for that, Emma, but I can give you this as legal tender of a transaction, both public and private. I can go to the store and I can buy a gallon of milk or I can, you know, you and I can make a transaction. Well, when we think about the redemption of our souls, and we gave this example last time of the little boy in the store that didn't have first enough money to buy the candy bar, but then instead of buying it, he stole it. And so now there's another debt that is owed. There's a moral debt. And you and I this morning owed a moral debt. Amen. Because of our sin, because of, as Romans has told us, that we were born in sin, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But in redemption, there was a decisive, costly intervention that someone intervened on our behalf. I love the words this morning that's already been shared of that of victory. I love the words that Joanne was sharing, talking about the victory that we have in the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because as the first century saints spoke about their life and they spoke about their walk with God and what Christ had purchased for them, they never spoke from an attitude of defeatism. There was always a message of victory. Amen. And I want us to have that this morning. As we think about the resurrection, as we think about the price that was paid for our salvation, I want us to realize that we have come forth victorious because Christ rose up from the grave. Yes. Amen. That you and I now, we were at the house the other night, and me and Elijah and Colby, and we were sitting out there in the living room. I was showing them my method of surfing the TV. I got a method. I got certain channels I go to, and I start there, and when they're not there, and so I got like three levels of searching. And so my second level is I go up to 372. Now, if you know what 372 is on DirecTV, that's TBN. That's what they call it, the Trinity Broadcast Network. And I'll start there, and if there's something there I can watch, I'll watch it, and then I'll come down from there. That's a group of all the Christian networks, and you can usually find some singing or something going on. And so I was demonstrating my method of surfing to them. And so we went up to 372 and we began to walk back down from there. And we came across this service that was going on at Nashville at the Capitol building right there. And it was really a follow up, or I think it was something they had planned before, but it was because of that shooting that took place there. And so they were having a service, and all these people, hundreds of people, had gathered together outside the courthouse, and they were singing songs of worship, and they were reading scripture, and it was the worshiping together. It was just such a great picture to see that. They weren't storming a Capitol building. They were out in front of the Capitol building worshiping God. Amen. Lifting up the name of the Lord. And one of the ministers that got up to preach, he said something, and as soon as he said it, I was just like, wow. I like that. And so I ran to and I got my iPad and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. And he said this. He says, we're not living toward, or we're not working toward victory, but we are working from victory. Amen. You like it too, don't you? Amen. We're working from victory. Our walk with God is not we're moving toward victory, but our walk with God is we are coming from victory. Amen. We're coming from the victory that was won for us at the cross of Jesus Christ. And so when we think about the salvation that's been freely given to us, it's not that it's cheap. It's not that it has no real value. It's not like the cheap furniture by the roadside. It's that the price that needed to be paid for our salvation, you and I could not pay. But we have a Redeemer. We have one that paid that intervention for us, somebody that paid the price necessary to free us. Now, in the Bible times, there's a couple places we could look at this morning, and we definitely want to get to a text. We don't have our text yet today, but look first over in the book of Exodus. It's kind of a scripture you haven't read a whole lot, but it talks about, I want to look at two types of ransom or two types of redemption this morning. And we'll start first over here in Exodus chapter number 21. And I'm just going to read down through a few verses here. This is reading out of Exodus verse 21, beginning with verse number 1. I'm going to probably stop around verse 6 there. Verse number 1 says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, this is strange to our culture, isn't it? We have no point of relating to this as far as in our day. And And it might even at some level offend our senses to think about how this takes place. The fact that, first we know through other laws that's given throughout the book of Exodus and Leviticus that no Jew was allowed to enslave another Jew. But yet there was this form that we just read about of indentured servitude where if you owed a great debt, that you could go into service or you could serve the one you owed the debt to. There was no bailout. So let me just throw that in there. I'll leave that alone this morning. You had to work it off if you owed money. And so what's explained to us here that, you know, if you had to go into this indentured servitude, if there was a debt that you owed and you were going to pay it off with your labor, and it was usually based on how much you owed. You know, if you owed a little bit, you'd work so long. And if you owed a lot, you'd work for so many years. Now, there were also other things that were set up as far as the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee. And I think it maybe speaks of that a little bit here in verse number 2 when it talks about after 6 years. But so there were other things that were set in place where you weren't always a servant. You could get your stuff back, if you will. But in this instance, it talks about the time that if you go in and you're serving the master and you go with a wife at the end of your time of service and you leave, you get to take your wife with you. Well, if you go into service and you don't have a wife, but during your servitude, this master gives you a wife and you have children by this wife, that at the end of your service, if you go out, you leave the wife and children behind. Now, I know that's tough. But just stay with me because it's all pointing towards something. All right. Well, if you want to stay with your wife, you want to stay with your children, you had to pay what they call the bride price. This was part of the Jewish culture. You had to pay the price. You couldn't just take your wife. He belonged to her. You had to pay the bride price. Now, it's strange. I actually came across this term even in more recent news. I think maybe a week before last, I was listening to the news and they were talking about China and what's going on over there now with the shortage of people and how that for so many years they hadn't been having children and now all of a sudden they need children because they're going to get old before they get rich and they're sort of at the point of no return now, and whether you buy into that or not, I sort of do, because they've been fooling with God's way for a long time, and so they've taken and they've killed too many, or they've taken the lives of too many of their women. And so now there's not enough women for the men. Well, guess what? If you don't have enough women, you can't have children. And so they actually use this term. I heard it on the news. They talk about the bride price. And that was the second time I'd heard that term. And they were talking about how that the bride price, which is still somewhat part of their culture, has gone up exorbitantly to where supply and demand, ladies, there you go. You want to make a little extra money? There's some plane flights over to China maybe. But there's that bride price that has to be paid, and the price of women has gone up, way up. Well, here's the same thing that we're talking about, this bride price. This man had to pay for his wife and for his children if he wanted to take them with him. Now, if he didn't, if he was content to stay with his master, there was that whole unfolding there of going to the master, say, I don't want to be free. I love my wife. I love my children. And so they would take and put his ear lobe upon the door post and poke a hole in his ear, and he shall serve him forever. And so that was just part of their culture. And this seems like such a strange thing when we think about with respect, how does this fit in with the atonement, that of a bride price? Well, just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Now let's go over into the book of Leviticus, and I want to introduce you to another term along the same lines, but not exactly the same, over in Leviticus chapter number 25. And here we're talking about this custom or this law that was given of that of a kinsman redeemer. How many is familiar with that term when it comes to the scripture? Yes. There's one book in the Bible that speaks so much about this is the book of Ruth. Amen. I love preaching to people that know the word, amen, know the Bible. It's the story of the kinsman redeemer. How that there would, if if you were in such debt, if you think about the story of Ruth and Naomi and how that they were in so much debt that they, after the death of their husbands and they couldn't pay their bills, they were losing everything, and there was one of a kinsman redeemer, one that would come in, and this particular instance was a man by the name of Boaz, that would come in and, if you will, pay their debts, pay it off to where they wouldn't lose their home, they wouldn't lose their fields, and they could, you know, go on and make a living for themselves. And so the story of Ruth is just that of a kinsman redeemer, a near kinsman redeemer. And here it is described in Leviticus chapter number 25, beginning with verse number 23. It says this: "The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession." And it's here that we're introduced to this idea, or to this law of the kinsman redeemer. And so when we think about our redemption, so we've got this idea of the kinsman redeemer. We've got this idea of the bride price. Now, how can we apply that to the work of Messiah in our atonement? How does that apply when we think about the works of the elder brother to his people? You and I this morning in Christ Jesus have a kinsman redeemer. Amen. The imagery of the church of Jesus Christ, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, is often used in New Testament scripture with respect to that of the church and Christ Jesus, purchased our redemption. And so when we think about what redemption is and how it looks in scripture, when, even in the book of the Exodus, when God's speaking about his children Israel as they were captive in Egypt for so many years, and God came in and redeemed them. Exodus 6 and 6 says this: "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptian, and I will rid you out of the bondage, and I will redeem you," or "I'll purchase you back. I'll pay the price." Amen. I'll pay the debt. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Now, let me just tell you this morning that when God stretches out his arm, things happen. Man, that's why when the prophet talks about to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. And so we're talking about the strength of God. And we're talking about the power of God. And God says, I'm going to stretch out my arm and I'm going to redeem you and with great judgments. Deuteronomy 9 and 26 says this: "I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand." Amen. So God brought forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. He redeemed them. He brought them forth with a mighty hand, an outstretched hand, his power. Nehemiah says it this way, Nehemiah 1 and 10. "Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and thy strong hand." And so when we get over into the New Testament scripture and begin to think about redemption, we begin to think about what it means to us as a believer. And we look at it from three perspectives. First, this morning, as we look at this imagery of redemption, we want to look at our plight, the plight we are redeemed from. What is it that God has redeemed us from? Now, remember when we were looking at propitiation last week, it wasn't some idol God or some fake God, some created God that was being appeased. It was the one true God. It was the wrath of God. And so when we think about redemption, it's the same thing. To whom is the price paid? Now, first off, you know, there is some discussion. There is some people out there say, well, it was Satan. He was paid the price. He somehow gained from our redemption. Somehow God worked out a deal with Satan. Well, I reject that. Amen. Because obviously Satan did not gain from you and I and from our redemption this morning. When we think about what our plight is, what is it that we've been redeemed from? Let's go back over to the New Testament scripture and we find first that we've been redeemed, as Paul gives to the Galatian church. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 13. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. Or namely, the divine judgment which is pronounced upon lawbreakers. Look at Galatians 3 and 13, says this. Christ hath redeemed us. There's that purchased word. Redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Go over one more chapter in Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 5. To redeem them. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Sure, I will take that water if you can bring it to me. Thank you. So we first see that the plight is that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Let's go a little further with it. Titus tells it this way. Thank you. Now I want you to pick up on that first, the plight. So if you take your notes this morning, write down the plight. I want you to see that it starts with a P. So when I get to the price, you'll start to see the pattern develop, right? I get excited when that happens. I do all kinds of Googling just to find words that start with the same letter. That's what the big timers do. I hear them on TV. That's what they do. They use the words that start with the same letter. So when we think about the plight, our plight is we've been redeemed from the law. We've been redeemed, as Titus 2 and 14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. So what else is it that we've been redeemed from? All iniquity. And purified unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Man, so we've been redeemed from iniquity. We've been redeemed from wickedness. We've been purified. We've been cleansed. Christ has cleansed us, himself, a peculiar people. Now, help me preach this morning. I can't miss this opportunity. Look at your neighbor and say, you're peculiar. I didn't say weirdo. I just said peculiar. There's a difference. When we think about a peculiar people, we're talking about a people that have been set apart for a reason. And so when you just looked at your neighbor and you made the assumption that they're in Christ, because I want to make sure that we understand we must be in Christ Jesus. We must have been freely received. We have freely received. This isn't universalism. Christ came and died for the sins of the whole world, but the whole world ain't saved. Amen. There are those that are still in their sin. But those that have come through faith in Christ Jesus realize that Jesus Christ has redeemed them, has paid the price for their sins. And so he's set us apart. He's purified unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. So what we're going to see, and Paul's going to do this later on, because I want us to see that when we've been redeemed, we've been set apart for a reason. know, we've been set apart for a purpose. But right now, let's just stay with the fact that we had a plight. We've been redeemed. Now let's look at the price we are redeemed with. It was not money. I know what we read on that dollar bill, that it's good for any transaction. But let me tell you this morning, it will not buy your salvation. I mean, I already told you I watch TBN once in a while. I start there and work through. But every now and again, when I get over to 372, and one of them guys are on there talking about, if you just send me your dollar bills, you just send me an offering, and God's going to do this for you, that's when I surf down a little further. Because I can't take it. I'll listen to it for a little while just because I'll be like, what in the world? But you know what? There's some poor little lady somewhere writing out her check and trying to buy her miracle. And it's a shame. It really is. But let me tell you what. You can't purchase this with money. Amen? It won't do it. The price that we are redeemed with is Christ himself. Amen? That the incarnation. We talk about the atonement. Christ's blood. Whenever we talk about the blood, it's always a word that symbolizes that of death. And when we think about the blood being poured out, from the Old Testament times all the way through, it speaks about death. And Hebrews 9 and 12 says this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. By his own blood. I put that in bold. By his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, I love the way the scripture put that in there. Eternal redemption. Amen. This salvation. I can just picture this in my mind right now. My old pastor, he'd be up behind the pulpit. Pastor Johnny Mars. He's going on to be with the Lord now. But I'll just never forget it. As a little kid, I'd be sitting in the pews, and he'd be up there preaching. He'd get so excited sometimes, he'd start clapping his hands, and you just knew it was getting ready to happen. He'd start clapping, and the more he clapped, the louder it got. Amen. For too long, he'd just take off running. He'd run off to the end of the church pew and turn around and come back, and he'd keep preaching. Now, I'm probably not going to do that this morning. It ain't ruled out. I'm not saying it's impossible, but haven't done it yet in the 8 years we've been here. But I will say this, he'd get so excited because he would say these words, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Amen. Why? Because he understood this great salvation that's been purchased for us. Carrying that story on a little further, I'll never forget. This is just a side note, parenthetical. Sure, we're going to wrap it up here. Parenthetically, I remember one time we were over at Brother Hayslip's church. And they had not been long built on that addition. And Brother Johnny was up there preaching in that church, and he got excited, and he was preaching, and he got so excited until finally he took off running. Well, their church was a whole lot longer than ours, and he was a whole lot older at this time. He gets all the way to the back door, and he comes back. Now, he finished it. I mean, he made the run. He got back up to the top. He looks at my dad, and he says, well, that's a whole lot farther peace than what it is at home. And they kept preaching. And there's a side note, but if you knew Brother Johnny, it's such a great picture in my mind. But he talks about the great salvation. And so the price that was paid for our redemption. 1 Peter 1 says this, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, or things that decay, things that rust, things that will rot, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, I know that we're treading deep waters this morning. I get that. And you know, this is maybe hard for us to understand, but can I just leave you with the simple message that you owed a debt you couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. I just, if you go away with anything other thing this morning, go with the fact that someone paid the price that you could go free. That you don't have to live in bondage of sin. You don't have to live in bondage to wickedness. But you've been redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and 7, this, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That's why last week when we celebrated the Lord's Supper together and we got to that part where it says, take, this is my blood that was shed for you. And we think about what it describes and when we participate in His life, but the benefits of His life laid down. And we think about the blood and we think about the bread, His body that was broken for us. All right, so we see what our plight was. We see the price that was paid. Now let's look at the person. There's that third P, the person. The person we are redeemed by. Acts 20 and 28 says this. This is Paul talking in that wonderful section to the Ephesian elders when he gathered them all together. He says this, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. So he's admonishing the elders of the church. He says, I want you to take heed, be careful, be on your guard, and I want you to feed the flock to which the Lord has made you, the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. I mean, isn't it something to think about this morning that when you and I come together and labor in the body of Christ, that Paul reminds these elders, listen, when you're laboring, when you're working, when you're serving a purchased people. You're serving the people of God. I mean, and so I guess it's sort of a warning to them, you know, admonition to them that they are to serve even fervently unto the Lord, that Christ Jesus has the proprietary rights. He's purchased the church with His own blood. I guess what Paul's really saying, you know, if the church is worth His blood, it's worth our labor. And so when we're working together in the body of Christ, that's really what we're doing. We're laboring together with the people that have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. There almost seems to be maybe even a little note of outrage, if you will, in Peter's writings when he's talking about those that were going about teaching false doctrine into the church of Jesus Christ. He was talking about speaks about the false teachers who, by their shameful behavior, he says that this, they were denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. Amen. Giving them a warning. Talking about those that were just simply denying the sovereign God that had purchased them with His blood. The last place we'll look at here this morning with respect to that, the price that was paid, is in 1 Corinthians 6. And this, Paul is admonishing the church. 1 Corinthians 6:18. He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Then he says this, verse 19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Believers, I'll leave you with that this morning. You that have been serving the Lord for so many years, amen, you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Amen. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your members, with your hands, you know, what you're doing, with your feet, where you go, with your lips. Is what you say, is what comes out of your mouth glorifying God? Man, Paul says it should, because this isn't yours. Say, well, sure, it's mine. I can say what I want to. You've been bought with a price. With your ears, what are you listening to? Man, what's going in the ears? Well, they're my ears. I can listen to what I want to. No, they're not. They've been bought with a price. Your eyes. I can go on this morning. This stuff preaches pretty good, doesn't it? But what are you looking at? Man, what is it, what you're seeing?
What websites are you visiting? Well, I can do what I want to. My computer's my eyes. No. No, believer, you can't. You've been bought with a price. Amen. Therefore, glorify God in your members. That's why he says, flee fornication. Amen. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Bought by Christ. We have no business to be the slaves of anything else. Once we were the slaves of sin, now we are the slaves of Christ. Amen. Now we are the servants. We're in his service. That's true freedom, isn't it? So that doesn't sound like freedom to me. You haven't served my master. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you what. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. When we think about the fact that our redemption has been paid, and when we think about our plight, amen, the situation we were in, we think about the person that paid the price, we think about the price that was paid for you and I this morning, amen, we know that we have life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our debt has been paid. Our moral debt, the atonement has been made for us. The ransom. Amen. The phone call we've been waiting on. What's the price? Jesus answered the phone and said, I've paid the price. Amen. I've paid the debt. I've paid the debt that I did not owe. I ran across a song by Robert Murray McShane this week. The title of it was I'm a Debtor. He says this. He says, when I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning that the price has been paid for us? Our redemption, the bride price. Christ has purchased us, and we're not our own. Amen. You're not your own this morning. Amen. These lips aren't yours. Your ears, they're God's. These eyes, they're God's. These hands, the feet. Amen. The body of Christ that we're serving together. And those that are sitting beside you that have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. Amen. They're Christ's. He's bought them. He's purchased them. Amen. And so that's a warning for all of us. Any of us that gets behind this pulpit or sings music or serves in any matter in our church, we remember we're serving those that Christ has purchased. Amen. And what a wonderful picture that is today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for redemption. God, we thank you, Lord, that you were willing to pay the price. Lord, that you came as our kinsman redeemer. Lord, that our elder brother, if you will. Lord, one that was able, one that was the spotless lamb, as we just read from your wonderful word, the spotless lamb. You were able, God, but also this morning, you were willing. God, you were willing to pay that price that we might have life. And we celebrate that today. We're thankful for the life that we have in Christ Jesus, the victory that is ours through the cross of Jesus Christ. And may we remember, Lord, that we are working from victory. God, that we are moving from victory. Lord, that price, as we were singing earlier, it is finished. The battle is over. Lord, it is finished. The victory is won. Thank you for that today. Lord, we ask for each and every one here this morning that they be blessed in thy word. Lord, that we, as we go here, your word will be in our heart. And God, if there be one here that hasn't experienced this great redemption, Lord, that today would be the day. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all